Matthew 18:12 says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" And just like the shepherd, Christ would have died even if it was just for one of us.
You won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the earth. Indeed. Praise the Lord for the vocals of these young ladies. The Butch and Sally Lee's granddaughters. Is that correct? There's more. Whoo! How many of y'all got coming for dinner? You wet, son. Yeah. It is a wet hair day. I like those days. I just want to say welcome to Spring Hill Baptist Church. I got it right this time. And the longer I stay, the easier it gets to say that. I tell you what, if you don't think there's a God, I got news for you. He's alive. He's risen. He is risen indeed. I tell you what, the choir did an awesome job. The praise team blessed us. The lead granddaughters just lifted up the Lord in prayer. Then and song and prayer. That's a prayer for me. And we are going to hear something from His Word this morning. Okay? So that being said, would you please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God? We're going to be in the book of John. It's a children's church. Oh, yeah. Pardon me. Thank you, ma'am. Oh, here's a stampede. Here we go. That's all right. We needed to stretch our legs anyway, didn't we? Jace went? Again. Praise the Lord. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Let me back up to verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to Him, but Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." That's some wonderful words there. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to Him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even if he dies. Amen. And everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this?" Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your word. Yes, we believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Did you see that organized chaos this morning? Five baptisms, that's wild. And trying to get, helping out with the sound and just. Don't worry about that baby cry. That's music to my ears. Is it not? But we're going to look at the book here of John. And the death and resurrection of Jesus are two grand fundamental facts upon which the whole of Christianity rises. If we don't have the death and resurrection, what do we have? We have nothing. And the Bible says, if Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. And it would be. It would be in vain. So for this Resurrection Day celebration, here we are, this Resurrection Day, I was drawn to search the Scriptures for what really mattered. The resurrection matters. Yes, it does. But I want to know what Jesus had to say about the resurrection. Even before He went to the cross. This is where He is. He's in Martha's, Lazarus's area. So here we go. On this day, we celebrate the resurrection. So I decided to do this. What really, really, really mattered to Jesus about the resurrection? Now, He knew where He was going. He knew where He was heading. But what did He have to say? What does He believe? What does He know? So this is where we are. I find this story in John chapter 11 captivating. It just captures my attention, where Jesus was visiting with Martha. visiting with Mary. Lazarus had already died a little before that. If you look back, this is the seventh miracle in John. There's seven miracles. This is the last one. And he was about to perform another miraculous event in recorded history. Yes, that's what I believe it to be. He was going to bring his Father glory in heaven. He was going to bring himself glory through his Father. Now, here's the deal. Lazarus was dead. We call that stinky dead. 4 days. Yeah, 3 days you had to wait in the Jewish Hebrew times before you were declared dead. He waited 4 days. And that's what it is. Don't go in there. He's going to stink. I'm sure he did. But anyway, we see here in these verses that he said something to Martha that I would like for us to really, really dig deeper into and what really mattered to Jesus. Here we go. The resurrection. It is a matter of fact. It is a fact. You know, and a lot of people don't believe this, and you're free to believe whatever you want. But I'm telling you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, not even a reasonable doubt, any shadow of a doubt, it is a fact. There are evidence that took place that have been recorded that this really happened. Could you defend the resurrection with an atheist or a non-believer? Could you? Think about it. Have you studied the scriptures and studied the history and studied all? Could you? Did you know there were public events that were involved in identifying Jesus Christ as alive? How many was he seen by? Hundreds. I think at one point, 500 in the city saw him. They're written down in other books other than the Bible. You know what books they are? Well, go find out. Study it. Defend it. You know, monuments were created to commemorate these dates and these events. What are two of the monuments that were created? The Lord's Supper, 2,000 years strong. That's a monument to commemorate that event, correct? And also, what else? What's the day? What day of the week? Sunday. What else is it known by? The Lord's Day. 2,000 years later, that is a monument. In addition to the great miracles of Christ's resurrection, we have so many miracles done by the apostles in the book of Acts that were recreated. Even Jesus is here. He's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. So he stated these facts. I am the resurrection and the life. One theologian reworded it this way. He says, I am the author of the resurrection. It so depends on me that it may be said that I am the resurrection itself. And I believe that. It makes sense to me. It's just reworded. It means the same thing. And this is one of those very, very strong statements. One of the seven I ams in the book of John. That's a sermon series that's on my heart that I will put together one. There are seven I ams, and this is one of them. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. How do we know that? So many different ways. Let me tell you, I was so blessed this past Friday. We went to do a prayer walk at the gardens at Abbey Lane down by Fairview on the other side of Cushatta. And I think it was me that needed to go the most. You saw that too. We all did, but Deacon Larry Shaw says, you needed it more than I did. My little grandson was running all over the place. Jace, he's 5 years old. He's running all over. And one of the gardens, it's an empty tomb. It's a concrete blocks and mortar, and there's a round stone in front of it, and there you can walk into it. And Jace is running with all his might to it, and he's anticipating finding something in the tomb. When he gets there, there ain't nothing in there. Out of the mouth of a five-year-old. He got it. Now, he's going to get it later, much later. But how true is that? There ain't nothing in there. It's a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen. We can also see something wonderful in what Jesus said. Jesus said, with the resurrection comes a promise. It's a matter of a promise. See, as we look at the Bible in its entirety, I'm talking from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation, I am not sure if we can see a more beautiful, comprehensive statement right here in John 11, 25. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. That's a promise. That's where we find hope. That's where we find comfort. That's where we find peace. That's where we find encouragement. And that's all the encouragement I need right here today. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. I love what the King James translation says. It's whosoever. One of my favorite words. Like, whosoever believes in me will live even if he dies. With this promise, we see a nature of the promise. The first one is, one, the dead shall live. Think about that. The dead shall live. We had sunrise service. And I looked at the tomb and said, Jesus said, they're asleep. He said to Lazarus, he's asleep. He kept telling his boys, he's asleep. Paul says, we fall asleep, those who are in Christ. The dead shall live. It would seem that at first glance that this has a reference to those that are in a state of physical death. No, he believed. He who believed and is now in the grave, though his body is decayed, shall be restored and glorified when that dawn breaks day. And Jesus says, I'm coming back. It's one of the illustrations that we get with Lazarus. Here's the second thing. The living shall never die. See, to the believer, the curse is removed. No longer is there a curse of death for the one who believes. And the last hour of life, and we're going to be there one day. We're going to reach that road in our lives when we'll have our last hour of life. And on this earth, within that hour, there will be victory, a glorious triumph for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a transition. And the last thing we see, that the resurrection is a matter of a plea. I'm making a plea this morning. This is a request, an appeal, a petition. Praise God, the church is full this morning. You know, it's Easter. This is great. Five baptisms. My goodness. Some people say, well, this church is in the middle of nowhere. I say, well, that's somewhere too. And if God is at work there, I want to be where he's at, and even though it's in the middle of nowhere, which is somewhere too. I'm making a plea today that we start on a new page. Jody's real nervous back there. I'm not on my notes right now. I'm making a plea that this be a continuous thing. We need the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, now more than ever. Now more than ever in our society, the things that our teenagers and our children and our adults are being tempted with is unimaginable. And this is where we get our encouragement, our hope. Do I need to reread those notes? No. Let me give you this. John 11, 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, there may be some in here that are lost, have not made that profession of Christ public, or say, this is not real. Jesus didn't come back. I beg to differ with all of my heart, soul, and being. I'm going to give you some scriptures for those who are sorry for their sins. We call that the penitent. For those who are sorry for their sins and they're anxious to obtain a pardon. A pardon means you're out of jail. You get out of jail. These scriptures are for you. Isaiah 1, verse 18. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool to the penitent, to to the ones who are sorry. Here's another one, Jeremiah 31, verse 34. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their sins. This is it. I love this one. And their sin I will remember no more. Now, how does God do that? Are you kidding me? I'm a poor sinner, saved by grace through faith, not of my own works, lest I boast. And when I was covered in the blood, I became white as snow. And all of my sins that had been, are now, and will be, he chooses to remember no more. Man, like they say, that's good stuff. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Oh my goodness, that's the tent of meeting. They're in the tabernacle. Here we are. These scriptures are for you, for those who are sorry for your sins. Do you believe this? To the doubting soul, to the next one, the doubting soul. Are there any Thomases in here? Anybody who doubt wants need to stick a finger in the hole? Read that this morning? Not sure if your sins have been forgiven, but you want to hear the voice of God and know for certain that your name is in the book of life. This is the privilege that is given upon believing. Acts chapter 15, verse 8. And God, hang on now, who knows the heart. I don't know your heart. You don't know mine either. But God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did also to us. For those who are born again believers, there's no doubt. Remove the doubt. You have the Holy Spirit residing within you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We are with God. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. My granddaughter right here. I'm not going to call her up. You know what? Something? We have any grandparents in here? Raise your hand. Woo! I love it. And we got future grandparents in here too. We have something, grandparents, that God doesn't have. And that's grandchildren. God don't have grandchildren. There's no grands in God's. He has only children of God. And that is a blessing from the Lord for those who have grandchildren. There's a reason they're called grand. Because I can ship them off when I get tired of them. Love you, baby girl. I love to see them headlights, but what else do we like to see? Taillights. Yeah. We are children of God, and that is the evidence of Christ in you. John 3:24, here it is. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the evidence that God is in you. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us. Do you still have any doubt? I could go on. Is that enough? Yeah, move on, preacher. That's enough. Here we go to the believers. This is the plea for the believers. You've heard for the lost. You've heard for the doubters. This is for the believers. It is your calling. It is your calling to strive to be free from sin. I didn't say you weren't going to sin. It is our calling to strive, to try to be free from sin, to be like Christ and to love God with all of our hearts. This is what is promised for you. Ezekiel 36, 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. It's not about baptism, either. He said, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Do you take a bath in dirty water? Well, if you have iniquity in your life, you do. If you have sin in your life, you are. You understand? For the believer, though, he says, I got clean bath water for you. Get rid of that stuff in your life. He says, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. That's sin. Jeremiah 33, verse 8. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon, I love that word, pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. Do you know how many times we grieve the Holy Spirit? Let me encourage you, though. God's right there to pick up the pieces. Didn't stop loving us. Didn't stop caring for us. Man, he's right there every time. But life happens, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, to pull you apart, to set you apart. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, goodness. There's a sermon right there. I could have fun just with the word blame. Another, it could get Colossians 2:10. And in him you have been made complete. And pause there. I got more on that one. Do you understand that? Without Christ, you have an incomplete life. You do. You see, we have a big void in our spirit. And we're always trying to fill it with something, aren't we? Huh? Right? You know, the only thing that's going to fit in there, that's going to fill it and make it full, is God. He says, we have a big void in you. Why are you trying to fill it with this and that and idols and fill it with God? He says, I'm there for you. And here it keeps on, that in that same scripture. He says, and in him you have been made complete. Without him you're incomplete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. That's the kicker. You see, that's why people don't really want to do Jesus. Because, man, he's going to be the boss. I can't do what I want to do. I can't watch what I want to watch. I can't live life the way I want to live. For him to make us complete, he has to be Lord of our life. Lord of our life. Do you believe this? So what, Pastor? To the lost, to the penitent, to the doubter, to the believer. See, God has an initiative. He has taken the initiative. God's the one who took the initiative to provide us with blessings. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. That's us who believe, by the way. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. When we think of wicked from a scriptural standpoint, what do you think of? Bad people. Evil people. Do you know what wicked is? A sinner. It's a sinner. You know what righteous is? Those that are in Christ. You see, there, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. I'm preaching hell right now. By our standards, most people, they're good, good people, right? But unless you have that saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you are wicked. I call it like I see it. This is what it says. A sinner, separated from God. I don't make excuses. See, good people by our standards and the Lord's standards are two different standards. Matthew chapter 10, verses 30 to 32. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. He knows how many hairs I have on my head, and I have a lot less than I used to. and says, so do not fear. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, here we go. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. That's encouragement for me. That is glory right there. Do you believe this? Here we go. There is a glorious heaven provided for you and promised to you. There's a promise here. Concerning the resurrection and what mattered to Jesus, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is a fact. And there is a promise. And he makes a plea. So for those who are struggling in life and not understanding what to do with sin, and God has made a way for that, the path is clear, it's clean. Turn as white as snow. Come to the foot of the cross. If we're doubting, let's remove that doubt with all the facts and everything that's in here. But do we live our lives, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as we do believe this? Are we living our lives as we believe, as we do believe this? That's a good question. I hope you are. If you're not, I want to help you. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Don't ask Mona. I'm not. But I try. I strive. I stay in the Word. Do you believe in heaven? Then you believe in hell. Verse 27. Didn't see that one coming, did you? This is what Martha said. And she said to him, I love this. Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Even he who comes into the world. Do you believe? Do you believe? He is risen. He says, I am the resurrection. He's about to go to the cross. He's not there yet. But now I know what was important to him. He wants us to believe that he is the resurrection and the life forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, if there's anyone here today struggling with sin, there's a way out. These are facts, Father. I believe this with all my being and my heart and my soul, that Jesus is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Lord, if there's others just doubting, I ask you, Father, to help them remove all doubt, to live a life pleasing to the Lord. And Lord, for those who do believe, are we living that life that is pleasing to him? Lord, if there's anyone here that just wants to lay down at the altar, today's a good day to do that. It's the Lord's day. 2,000 years later, we're still preaching and coming to church on the first day of the week when Jesus rose out of that grave. I love it for my little grandson. There ain't nothing in there. And he's the only one, Jesus is the only one can make that claim. His tomb is empty. My goodness, I find encouragement in that. I find hope. I find peace. Father, forgive me where I have failed you. Help me become a better person for you. May we do everything that glorifies you. May we take nothing for granted here at Spring Hill. And may we call on the name of Jesus. His name we pray. Amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down
at the cross.
The cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart is peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down, here arms open wide, here you save my life, here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
And please be seated for just a moment. What a wonderful spirit here this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand for showing up today. It's Him. It is all Him. Man, I don't want any credit for nothing. Oh, goodness. Hey, this Thursday evening, 6:30 under the pavilion. Miss Shannon, it's your fault. I'm going to blame her. The Lord spoke to her one evening to pray for our children in the schools in our community. And I don't know how big this is going to be, and I don't care. I want the Lord to just show up mightily. He spoke to her. She spoke to me. And who am I to get between her and the Lord?
Amen.
So, church, we're having a prayer meeting. And I don't know how long it's going to go for. It's going to be nothing but prayer and song and prayers and song. No preaching. Don't need to preach when you're praying and singing. The Lord will show up. So, 6:30 Thursday evening. All right, I got some people I would like to come up. Caden, is Caden still here? Dooley, come on up here, buddy. In here is a wet hair. I love wet hair day. Don't you love wet hair day? There's a certificate and a little book in here. Come on, stand right here. And this is that you've been baptized here. You're part of our church family. Grayson, where you at, Grayson? Another wet hair. Kind of drying up a little bit. Let me show you one of these. Mona, if you could open this one up and show it to him. Grayson, here you go, buddy. So we can show what it looks like. Ross, where you at, Ross? Another wet hair. Ross, way back there. Come on up, Ross. Show it so everybody can see it. It's a record of baptism here today into the church family, Spring Hill Baptist Church. And there's a little book we give them. Welcome to the family. Don't you like that? Amen. All right, go put it back in there. Destiny. Yeah, you knew you were coming. And Mitch. Mitch. And here's what we're going to do. They're going to come here, receive these certificates and these books. Stand right here. And I'll have them walk to the back with me in a moment after we get ready to pray. Who's praying today? Who's there? Darrell Adams. Deacon Darrell Adams, you make your way up here. We got a yellow mic we're going to make hot. I don't know, church. It don't get no better. Don't you agree? I love this. Thank you. Praise God. Give his name